Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today, we are going to talk about the creative arts programs for older adults. I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Gay Hanna. Gay is the executive director of NCAA, which is the National Center for Creative Aging. Gay holds a PhD in arts education with a certification in educational program evaluation from Florida State University and nonprofit executive management certification from Georgetown University. She previously directed the Society for the Arts and Healthcare, the Florida Center for Creative Aging at the University of South Florida, and VSA Arts of Florida, an affiliate of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. She has published numerous articles in publications, including the American Society on Aging's Aging Today and Generations, Americans for the Arts Monograph Series, and the Arts Extension Service Fundamentals of Arts Management. Well, Gay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Polly. I'm so glad to be here and be with your listeners.
That's great. Well, I want to share with our listeners that I met Gay in Washington, D.C. at the American Society on Aging's National Conference, and I was so impressed with all the programs that you are spearheading around the nation. And let me start off by asking you a simple question, and tell me why creative expression is so vital to healthy aging.
Well, again, thank you, Polly. Creative expression is vital to healthy aging because it builds resilience. It builds resilience because it engages one's mind and body, and it certainly does that lifelong, especially important in later life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, how did this field begin?
Well, actually, it's really as old as humanity itself. From the earliest cultures, older people have been viewed as really the keepers of arts and wisdom. It was only until, you know, the modern society, when families became so nuclear and we started to live separately as communities, that aging certainly became looked upon as more of a time of loss than a time of gain. And so the creativity and aging started growing once again in the 70s when a pioneer named Robert Butler in the 70s wrote, "Why Survive Growing Old in America?" And he pointed out that there were just few opportunities as we grew older, and that there needed to be. And that created great interest across many of the areas of community service. And that is when we saw great growth in terms of supplying more arts services, especially in aging services.
I love what you said before about it being a time of gain rather than a time of loss. I think that's what a wonderful phrase. Now, what research documents this impressive need?
Well, actually, Dr. Butler's work really started to stimulate research because before that time, as people aged, they started to reminisce, and reminiscence, telling stories, and we'll talk about that later, really is a healthy part of aging. But in the mid-century of the 20th century, it was looked at as really more, you know, something to be discouraged. And when it was found that no, encourage this looking back on one's life and coming to terms and celebrating what had been accomplished and making peace with what had not was one of the healthiest things that could happen. And that's why, again, engaging in all the arts, drawing, painting, dancing, theater, journalism is so important. Dr. Jean Cohen actually conducted some seminal research at the turn of the century where he did a longitudinal study with active older people who engaged in different arts activities. He measured it against a similar group of active older people that did not engage in creative activities and found that there was significant health gains from this beginning study. Since that time, many researchers have been looking at this. We have studies in arts therapy, music therapy, dance, drama, that again show the profound benefits of engaging in the arts. And there's more going on. The National Endowment for the Arts and the Department of Health and Human Services late in 2010 published a white paper, and in fact NCCA helped author this white paper, that showed the value of the arts being involved in creativity across the lifespan, and again with evidence to document it, especially in later life. Now the National Academies of Sciences will be producing this year an analysis on the research that has been done and the literature that's been created. So it's exciting to see what we've always known to be true, that involvement in the humanities and the arts makes us more whole as a people and a community, really does have some evidence behind it.
It's so true. It's so true. Now, there are quite a few seniors who tend to be introverted and not very social at all. How can they be initiated into the creative aging process?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, Polly. It's probably due to how we look at older people and aging. As a society, we start looking at them as people with less value. We have less expectations. We have stereotypes. In fact, Gene Cohen did a study. He's one of our close associates at the National Center. He passed away 3 years ago. But he said, you know, older people are often stereotyped in the three W's: wicked, weak, or weird. And so when you have such low expectations, certainly we have noted that often people that were outgoing tend to retire, become withdrawn. They don't seem to have a purpose since their career is over, and they've lost meaning in their lives, as well as they've lost loved ones. Mm. So it is a time of reflection, but it's also a time which, if used, and if we can have more accessibility to community and family and friends and faith, that actually it can become a liberation phase where generativity can continue. We have to know that this new stage of life, we've been given 30 extra years since the turn of the century. The 19th century life expectancy was just 45 years of age. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
By the end of the century, it became 80. And we hear now statisticians talking about a huge percentage of the people living today, especially those born after the millennium, will reach over 100 years of age. It's staggering. So again, to go back to your question, Erik Erikson, the famous psychosociologist, talked about at each stage of life, we almost have a choice of how we want to live it. And the later stage of life indeed could be one, he said, that we could retreat into despair, or we can advance in what he said he called integrity, or integrating our life. So truly to withdrawing older people more or less out of their shells is to raise the expectations, be careful not to put any stereotypes such as old dogs can't use or can't learn new tricks behind us, because evidence shows that our brain really can grow all the way through life and grow new brain cells even at the end of life. And we give opportunity. And we find ways where people have a natural tendency. In fact, Howard Gardner of Harvard talked about multiple intelligences. I am a visual artist. I don't think you're going to see me up on stage. So again, to be sensitive of what the preference is in terms of being creatively involved. And creativity can be something as simple as learning a new way to cook. It can be learning a new way to garden, tell stories, certainly to paint, to draw. It seems like we are programmed in later life to actually want to share more about our life and our life experience. So the motivation really comes from the inside out. So where we see arts or creative programs failing is when they try to impose from the outside in. So long question, Polly, but it's such an important one, because we see the best efforts of our friends and colleagues fail when they tend not to look at the person themselves, their life story, and their preferences.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. Can you tell us some about some of the specific arts programs that are available for active older adults?
Certainly. And with this huge boom of older adults, I'm a member of the boomer generation myself. And 10,000 boomers turn 65 every day. And more leisure time is coming available. So we're seeing services in the arts just expanding like crazy, really. There's places online that are specifically designed for older adults, or really adults, because really, once we're out of school, it becomes a continuum of being active. So we suggest that truly you look in your community, you look really online as well, and find programs at museums, any adult art education program, at community centers, senior centers, libraries, should fit the bill, and you can pick and choose what interests you better. Again, whether you're in performing arts or visual arts or literary arts. But there are a few in the country that have just been stellar in this work, and most of them are their directors started in the 70s when this big field started to bloom. Mm-hmm. I'll just touch on a few. Elders Share the Arts in Brooklyn, New York. They have a program called Pearls of Wisdom, where older people actually come, learn how to tell their stories, and then go into schools and share them. That's also true with StageBridge in Oakland, California, which is actually a theater company where all the actors are older people. They are also teachers, mentors. They do fabulous work in their community, and they're constantly performing and creating new work. There's a group for people that used to play in their high school bands. New Horizon bands are springing up across the country. In fact, the New York Times said that if you hear a garage band, it's probably not a teenager. It's probably a boomer.
So, <That's> wonderful.
Rock bands are forming like crazy. There's even a group called Recreation Music Making that's supported by the National Association of Music Makers, NAMM. You can go on their website if you're into music. Or singing chorales, especially in Washington, D.C. I think people talk so much here that they just burst into song. We have more choirs, choruses, and we have a group that started here actually as a result of Gene Cohen's research study. Some people say, well, what happened to that research project? Well, we say it didn't go away. It grew and grew and grew. So what started was encore chorales. There are 23 across the country. And that involves people who might never have sung before that want to sing under a professional conductor. Mm-hmm. And, of course, your faith community offers many opportunities to sing and mm-hmm. celebrate. Mm-hmm. Lifetime Arts is a group growing like crazy out of New York, but now has programs across the country in libraries, all sorts of art programs. So, again, this is a wonderful time of life when we have more resources and easier access to be involved. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Montgomery County, right outside of Washington, D.C., the community college actually gives free tuition and studio space for people over 60 to take arts classes. And I know
That's
community
wonderful.
Colleges have this happening, again, all across the country. So now is a great time to dive in.
That's great. Now, what about programs that cater to the needs of adults with cognitive disabilities?
We see this as really our top requested service. It is so tragic at a time of life when, of course, we want to celebrate life and accomplishments and our loved ones, to be distressed by memory loss. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, you know, we have become a society fixated on memory, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I carry a memory jump drive in my pocketbook at all times. Mm-hmm. I have a laptop. I have a cell phone. I have a desktop. I know most of you do, too. So when we lose our ability to remember, it's probably a more profound loss in this society than at any other disadvantage. In fact, I just heard Gail Sheehy, a very well-known author and journalist, say, it's the elephant in the bedroom of almost all boomers,
mm-hmm.
looking
yep.
towards memory loss.
That's
well,
it,
there's
yeah.
several stellar programs. Museums all over the country have been stimulated by a program called Meet Me at MoMA. And what it involves is really working with a museum educator that's been trained to direct conversation around artwork, not dependent on memory, but imagination. And this is the key. We may lose our memory. We don't lose our imagination. And as
That's
long
wonderful.
As we can accept it, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Time
That's
Slips
wonderful.
Is another one out of Milwaukee that has programs all across the country, and there are poetry and dance projects as well. So I know we have many different programs, but of course limited time. But please check our website. You'll learn all about them.
And would you share with our audience your website, please?
Yes. It's www.creativeaging.com. No, excuse me, .org. So it's www.creativeaging.org.
Okay. Now, you know, of course, you know, as a website that provides, you know, information and resources to caregivers, what resources are available for caregivers of older adults who may want to be involved in the arts or express what they're going through as caregivers?
Well, that is really a growing service. I will say that there's much need for focus in this area. We would hope that our website would become more of a portal because of this wonderful opportunity with you today, Polly. We're going to create a web page just for caregivers. It should be up next week. But looking towards your community resources, your senior centers, your support groups, looking at your libraries, there's a wonderful group, the Family Caregivers Alliance out of San Francisco, which is really specializing on honoring programs that serve caregivers. So again, the resources are growing, but they are at this time limited. So we would ask for certainly any request for service that you have to come to us, and we'll do our best to fulfill it, and for you to certainly look to your caregiver groups. Often a question to a group that you're with that might not have these services will stimulate these services happening. Sadly, the arts are often not at the table when services for caregivers are planned. So I would ask your listeners to ask for these services because they're there. Almost every community has a library, a museum, that if they don't have a program, they could easily do a program.
And that's great because that answered the question that I was going to ask next, which was how to start their own arts program in their community if one does not exist.
Well, certainly we have produced free online a toolkit for creating these programs. We also are here as an organization to give you technical assistance, and we even have many grants available at this time for people that are part of organizations that would like to create these programs. So again, there are resources growing in this area.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Let me ask you something. If someone wanted to get involved in furthering this cause, how could they go about doing it?
Well, definitely the easiest way is to sign up on our website. You can get all of our publications for free. We are a nonprofit organization affiliated with George Washington University. We're funded by the National Endowment for the Arts and Health and Human Services. So you will find many resources available to you to pick up and get started. And if we can, we'll certainly refer you to the people we know in your community. And if not, we'll do our best to find out who they are.
Oh, this is great. Well, we have a few minutes left, and I just want to ask you one last question. And that is, if you have a crystal ball, what do you think the future of creative aging looks like?
Well, if the momentum continues, most of these activities really only need time and effort. So you can do an activity totally without anything above that. And there are resources, again, that are just there and available if you look for them. Mm-hmm. So we look at, in our crystal ball, and we see this. The 21st century is a celebration of longevity. And we see it as supporting not just the older people that are with us now, but really supporting the younger people and across the generations and across the cultures. As you may have read last week, we are now a society of really minorities. And the arts and culture, humanities, creativity are natural bridges between us as human beings and communities. In fact, we call it creating a new world for the 21st century. We certainly know we have many challenges, and a huge challenge in addressing the needs of people with dementia and their caregivers. But we also have many opportunities for really encouraging lifelong engagement. And that's one thing we so ardently want to put forward, that even though a person may have lost their memory, some of their cognitive ability, they are still have the ability to be engaged and still have the ability to live vitally their life long. And we should expect it and expect that for everyone. We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our communities. So the picture's very bright.
That's great. Well, I love what you're seeing in the crystal ball. Well, I want to say thank you very much, Gay, for joining us. It has really been a pleasure having you as our guest. You can learn more about Gay at the following website, which is www.creativeaging.org. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Tuesday, May the 29th at 2 p.m. Eastern for our online radio show, Caregiver and Physician Conversation, hosted by eCare Diaries caregiving expert Marjorie Pabst. Marjorie will interview Dr. Scott Teitelbaum. Dr. Teitelbaum is a medical director of the Florida Recovery Center at the University of Florida on helping caregivers focus on the role of tough love when it comes to recovery from mental health issues and addictions. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit our website at www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thanks for joining us today. Bye now.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.